Hello and welcome to episode 2 of the Bully Memorial Podcast, covering the SDL season. We got a great episode for you today. We have an explanation of the new foul rule change and how we're going to handle that moving forward. A quick recap of the week 1 games. I do my power rankings. Then we've got Guess the Lines segment for the week 2 games with Eric Rossiello. We've got Buy or Sell with Maz. And also a nice long interview with AO Allen, who ran the former SDL podcast. So yeah, without further ado, let's get right into it. Okay, so explaining the new rule with fouling at the end of games. This was a pretty confusing week 1, especially because we had overtime games. But the email Tibbs had sent out said that if a team committed 2 fouls under 2 minutes to go in regulation in the second half, then that would automatically trigger 1-1. And the idea behind this rule was, you know, you have a team with 2 team fouls, has to foul 5 times now to get to 1-1. And that was just leading to a lot of chaos where people, you know, committing fouls everywhere, sometimes maybe a little hard to make sure that the ref, you know, calls the foul. So the idea was just to kind of make things safer and speed things up and not have to go through fouling a bunch of times. However, this led to a bunch of confusion with the overtimes and, you know, how many 1-1s there are. So basically I was able to figure out after the game, texting with Tibbs, you know, getting all the details on the nuances of how the rule would work, how we're going to handle it going forward. And we're going to handle that by saying that when 2 minutes is left in the game, each team is going to get automatically bumped up to 5 team fouls if they don't already have 5 or more team fouls. So what that means is that your second foul under 2 minutes will always at least trigger 1-1, which will be the 7th foul as normal. Fouls 8 and 9 are also 1-1s as normal. Foul 10 or more is double bonus. And then that will carry over to overtime as it normally does. That's the new rule, so it's not my decision, but that's what we're going with, and now it should be a lot clearer, and when people ask me how many team fouls there are, I can give a clear response. So if the team really only has 3 team fouls, and then 2 minutes hits, and they commit 1 foul, I'm going to say they have 6 and not 4, and that should be a lot clearer, given it was the first game of the season, and we opened with an overtime game, and a triple overtime game, it was pretty confusing. I didn't really have a good answer for people when I was asked how many team fouls there were. And I honestly wasn't too sure about how things would carry over into the overtime as well. But now we know. And it should be a lot easier going forward on everyone, you know, from myself and Maz scorekeeping to Cap as the ref and the players. Everyone should know what's going on and it will be very clear. And if anyone has questions, they can just ask, okay, how many team fouls? We'll have a response and things will go as normal based on the number of team fouls. Okay, so on to quick recap of week 1's games. I'm going to keep this quick for a couple reasons. One reason is write-ups are already up on the site. Another reason is that I heard some feedback that the best part of last week's podcast was the interviews with the guests. So I'm not sure if that means that people did not like me talking solo, or if I'm just really good at interviewing, or maybe the guests were just particularly good. But like I said, we'll keep this quick. The first game was Harry's team, no game scheduled, matched up against EJ's team, which I have named Not That Slick, waiting for an actual team name. This one was back and forth battle, went into overtime. Zach was awesome in the first half with 26 first half points. Second half, it was still good, but Cahill chipped in a little more. They actually had the lead at half. Game ended up going into overtime off a Hanks two-pointer to tie it up as the second half wound down. A couple quick tenny baskets in OT wrapped this one up for Harry's squad. And, you know, That was game one. Game two, Park's team played Cheese With That Wine. They played against Ruff's team. Two lefts will make four right. B-Rob, Ruff's second round pick, was out. Dylan Park, obviously the captain, was out. This game went into three overtimes, much to everyone's chagrin. It was pretty brutal, just between how hectic it was with me trying to keep the stats for the, and, you know, there's rookies, so I'm not always 100% sure who everybody is. The new foul rule just led to a ton of confusion, especially with the overtimes. We weren't sure if things would reset or not. But it actually ended up being a pretty good game. The scoring was pretty low throughout most of the game. Then there was some good scoring in the second half and overtime. Kerr and Shabertes both put up huge point totals. Kerr ended up winning the game with a two-pointer late in the third overtime, basically as, you know, the time ticked down to maybe 3 seconds. Had a nice basket inside off a pass, just banked it home. And Park's team was able to take home the win without him. Third game was my game. We played against Steiner's team and won Hicks Tapes Tour. It was a close game. Unfortunately, the scoreboard stopped working for our game. So that was a bit of a bummer, not being able to know what the score was. I took a pretty bad shot late. It was under 2 minutes to go. We had the lead. I took a three, missed it. Steiner ended up hitting a three down the other end, then came down and hit another three after that to really ice the game for his team. So great job from Steiner late in this one. He also had a nice strip and score as well as we were trying to frantically come back. You know, if it was a playoff game, I wouldn't have taken a shot with under 2 minutes to go in the lead. But week one, you know, we're all out there to have fun, not have someone hold the ball for 120 seconds. So that one's on me. Got to be better next week. Eric had a good game for Steiner's team as well, 26 points. And the rookie Clasby was pretty good with 17. Sidorko was great for us with 18 points, 13 boards. Did some work inside. Last game of the day was just a blowout. Friends and Family Connection, Rakusin's team, played against Shoot First, Ask Later, Giano's team. It was a 20-point game. Was over pretty early. Giano had a great first half, scoring 14 or 16 points. But they just ended up getting totally blown out. Their defense didn't look great. They looked disjointed. Unsurprisingly, Maz was ready to go. Dropped quick 37 points, just lived at the hoop. Colley, I looked down at the end of the game and had 18 points, and I barely even remember him shooting. He probably took, you know, maybe 9 shots on the day. They're going to be awesome when Mike is there, for sure. If he's out for key playoff games, that's going to be a big problem. On the other side, you know, they really didn't get much besides Giano and first-round pick Dave Pendergast. Pizza chipped in some hoops. Toby was nowhere to be found. I don't know if that was a product of him coming off the bench or what. Federici had some nice assists, but wasn't a huge factor scoring the ball. And, you know, Pendergast, I think, you know, it was a tough assignment for him having to guard Maz and then getting guarded by Colley on the other end. He still managed to put up some decent numbers, 19 points, 10 boards, 5 assists, 3 steals. But, you know, he couldn't keep his team in this one. All right, so now I'm going to talk about some of the, you know, best or funniest moments from the week. You know, I'm there for all four games. People, you know, talking to me at the scores table. People are chirping. Cap, the ref, is chirping. So we had some good moments. In the second game, it was late. Kerr's team, or I should say Park's team, was in the lead. Ruff kind of came over to the scorer's table and told me and Maz that, you know, he didn't really care about this game. This is week one. He doesn't play for week one. He plays to win championships. You know, B-Rob is missing. They're not even supposed to win this game. And that, you know, this game didn't really matter to him at all. Kind of saying all that stuff, you know, during a timeout. They get back on the floor. Ruff ends up hitting a huge three to, you know, either tie the game or take the lead, something like that. And Ruff was very excited, which seemed to completely, you know, go against what he was saying about how he didn't care about this game. This game didn't matter to him. As soon as it seemed like You know, he made a big play to help potentially win the game. He was all about it, very pumped up. So that was a funny moment. Maz and I had a good laugh about that on the sideline. And then another hilarious moment was during Friends and Family's Connections win, Rakusin pulled down a rebound and dribbled up the court, fired a pass to a teammate, kind of streaking in for a layup, but you know, was somewhat covered. And the pass went maybe 6 feet over his intended target's head and just slammed off the wall. And Maz quickly told Rakusin to never bring the ball up again. Now, Steve is the captain of this team, but when you draft Maz, Maz is also basically the captain. So that was just a great moment where Steve tried to say, well, he was open. And Maz just said, it doesn't matter. You know, when you get a rebound, give me the ball. So maybe that'll lead to some inter-squad drama. We'll see there. In that game, we also had another funny moment between Maz and Rakusin when Rakusin had the ball, Maz was calling for it and said, yelled out, raccoon, raccoon. Apparently, the raccoon nickname has caught on for Steve. Later on, Maz shortened that to coon, which really not the best thing to be calling someone. I don't think really Maz knew the implications at the time, but you know, that was a good source of some entertainment during a blowout in my fourth hour at the gym. So I appreciated that from them. Okay, now I'm going to get into some quick power rankings based on week one. Obviously, these are going to be subject to change as, you know, we learn more about teams as they try out different strategies, etc. But I'll go through my power rankings and my outlook that I have currently for each team. We'll start at the bottom. Number eight, I have EJ's team. It's crazy to be ranking a team with Zach last. However, this team just has no jump shooting outside of Zach, basically. EJ is probably their best 3-point shooter, when, you know, when Zach is passing the ball, of course. Allen might be their second best. Those two were the only two to make a three for this team besides Zach. I just don't see how this team is gonna have enough firepower to score with other teams once they really start focusing in on defending Zach. I mean, EJ will honestly probably be the third leading scorer for this team, and that's a problem. Seventh, I have Giannis' team. I mean, they're the only team to get blown out today. That's not a good look for them. The team, the pieces just don't seem to fit together correctly. You know, he just gave up too much in the draft to move up and select Pendergast. There's just not enough help on this team. Like I said previously, you know, Dave has to do basically everything. Lead the team in rebounding, lead the team in assists, guard the other team's best player, and score the most points. And it's just basically impossible to ask that of anyone in this league. Federici looked good. Also had a good number of assists, but he needs to become more of a threat scoring the ball because really Giannis and Dave were their only threats out there to do things with the ball off the dribble. Toby was just a complete non-factor. I have no idea why that is, but you know, they're behind the eight ball with their picks that they had, and it doesn't seem to have worked out. Okay, number six, I have Harry's team. Even though they won today, they beat the team that I have ranked eighth, and they barely won. Hammond was really good for them. Really good glue guy. You know, he can make some shots, but he's also making hustle plays. You know, they had a ton of offensive rebounds, but that also means they're missing a lot of shots. So I just don't see it with this team. I don't think they have really quite the person next to Tenney that can, you know, lead them to wins against the better teams in the league. The next team I have is my own team. I would like to rank us higher, but I mean, we lost. I think we have one of the deepest teams in the league. Luke ended up being a really good pick at 28. And I think once Boyer knocks some of the rust off, you know, we really have five guys that can score the ball, which I don't really think any other team can say that. But, you know, we lost, so I can't rank us any higher than this. And we were at basically full strength, only missing Dort. Number four, I have to rank Ruff's team here. They did lose, but they didn't have B-Rob, so it's tough to really judge them off that one game. And the team they lost to, was missing Parks. That kind of negates it a little bit, but I mean, it was a triple OT loss. They easily could have won. So for now, I put them at number four, and I could easily see them moving up or moving down. Shaberdi's looked very good at times in this. Other times he has some kind of strange misses, but I mean, his highlights can be very impressive with the step back threes or the drives. I mean, he's so big and strong. He's a tough guy to contain. Number three, I'm going to put Park's team here. You know, able to get a win without Park is impressive. I was extremely impressed by Kerr, and he did a really good job defensively on Shaberdi's, even though Shaberdi's has had 38 points. You know, Big Joe took a lot of shots and, you know, made some tough ones too. But Kerr did well, 35 points, guarded the other team's best player. I was very impressed with Chris today. Number two, I'm going to rank Steiner's team here. You know, I think my team's pretty solid, and they were able to handle us. Klasby seems to be a pretty good number two, and you know, Eric's obviously one of the top guys in the league. He certainly has a lot more help than Zach does. So for right now, I have them here. I wasn't completely impressed with them. I don't think they're necessarily a shoe-in to win or even make the finals necessarily, but they have a good team for sure. And, of course, for number one, that leaves Rakusin's team, Friends and Family Connection. You know, they have Maz, they have Colley, they have Mazurvi, who's a perfect fit with them as far as just filling in what's needed, making smart decisions with the ball. Rakusin's gobbling up rebounds. Mark Savaro, Rakusin's brother-in-law, who we're tentatively nicknaming the Possum. He was pretty solid out there today, did some good things. He's definitely a capable fifth man in this league. So when they have Colley, I think they're certainly the best player, the best team in the league. You know, I think they could be looking at an 8-1 type season. I think they're good enough to do that. However, they're not good enough to overcome the absence of Colley in the playoffs, in my mind. In a semifinals or a finals game, the other team's gonna, you know, have some good defenders or at least one good defender on their team who can guard Maz. And, you know, assuming a team makes the finals, they probably have pretty good and smart game plans, and they're going to realize, okay, no Colley, we just got to focus in and stop Maz. So while I do have them ranked number one, you know, in these power rankings, that's really more for the regular season. I'd have to drop them down if we were talking about, you know, if we were ranking the teams by percent chance of winning the championship, they would be much lower on this list. So they're going to be hoping for a lot of snow days. All right, that's it for the power rankings. All right, joining me now on the podcast for a segment we're going to call Guess the Lines, it's Eric Rossiello. Eric, how you doing?
Not too bad. How's it going?
Good. You ready to just jump right into this?
Yep, what's up?
Okay, in the early game for week two, we have Friends and Family Connection. That's Rakusin's team squaring off against Two Lefts Don't Make Four Right or something like that, which is Ruff's team.
Okay.
What is your guess on what I make the line for this game?
All right, so Rakusin's team, that's Maz and Colley. They looked pretty good week one. And then we got Ruff's team, and they were missing B-Rob, and they lost an OT to Kerr's team. So I think
right, triple overtime game.
Triple overtime, that's right. So I think Maz and Colley obviously have to be the favorite here. And yeah, I'm not that high on Ruff's team, to be honest. I just don't think they have a lot outside of Shaberdi's offensively. B-Rob can do his thing, but he's not really looking to score. He's more of a defensive player. So I think the line has to be like maybe 11.5 in favor of Maz's team.
Wow. Okay, that is an aggressive line. I actually made the line Friends and Family Connection by 6.
All right. Well, we'll see then.
So kind of, I guess my reasoning is, you know, I think Maz is going to be really tough for Ruff's team to cover, but I think Shaberdi's is also going to be really hard for Maz's team to cover. Shaberdi's has a good amount of size on Colley, and I just don't think Rakusin can
keep up with Shabridis up and down the floor and on drives.
Yeah.
So
I'll give you that. Shabridis is, I had to guard him last year and he's a load. So I'll give you that.
Yeah. Shabridis is pretty strong, pretty big. That'd be a tough cover for Cauley as well. So I see what you're saying about Shabridis is kind of their only big source of offense, but I mean, he can easily just go for 35, because he's gonna have the green light to take those shots, and then Ruff can chip in like 15. B Rob chips in 10, and if Shabrizi gets 35, you're already at 60 points, so they can get up there.
Yeah, I just think Maz is probably gonna kill it.
Yeah, I agree. Maz should have a big game. Okay, in the second game, my team, the Backdoor Bandits, is squaring off with no game scheduled, which is Harry Labov's team with Tenney.
Okay, first off, I need to get the background on that team name. Any ideas there? No game scheduled? Does that mean anything?
No game scheduled? That's like something that people would do in college intramurals in hopes of getting a forfeit win.
Oh, okay. All right. Anyways, I don't know. I think it's going to be a close game. I think you guys are more balanced. Tenney can obviously fill it up on the other side. Who else do they have besides Tenney again?
So they have Scott Hammond, okay. George.
Okay.
They have Hanks. They have Harry Labov. And they have Cheese.
Okay.
No, Cheese is on Park's team.
Okay.
Who's there? So last guy, Ben Butterworth.
Okay. All right. So what do I think you're going to make the line? I think you're going to make you guys 2-point favorites. But I think you guys win the game.
Wow. Okay. So we're pretty much on the same page. I had us as making the line my team favored by 3. So I think we're right on. I think my team's ultimately better, but we might be a team that figure things out over the course of the season, whereas No Game Scheduled has a very obvious game plan of give the ball to Tenney, let Tenney create. The other guys just crash the boards, play hard on D.
Yeah, yeah.
Hammond was really good in their game last week. He had 8 offensive rebounds, 3 steals, 3 assists. He's a good glue guy for them.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, it'd be interesting to see them play. I actually have never seen Hanks play. I hear he's a big guy too.
Yes, Hanks is pretty big, and he had the basket that sent the game to overtime last week, which was huge. So he can definitely play.
All right. Yeah, I think you guys take that game.
I agree. All right, the next game is Cheese with That Wine, which is Park's team, against Shoot First, Ask Later, which is Giano's team.
Okay, so Park's team, I thought, was the surprise team that looked really good in the first week, or better than expectation. I mean, Park wasn't even there, and Courage just dominated up and down the court offensively. Did a great job. He's a really good passer, which I didn't know. And then his like mid-range game and in-between game was on point. Grabbed a ton of O boards. If he starts making some threes, he's gonna be really tough to guard. And then defensively, I thought he did a great job on Shabertis, even though Shabertis ended up with like 40 points. But Shabertis hit like 4 really tough threes after Kerr's team got up in overtime. So. And then the couple of rookies that they had were also good. Kelleher and Sheehan both looked like solid role guys too. So,
yeah, both those guys grabbed double-digit rebounds. Kelleher had 19 rebounds, even though he's like 5'10".
Really? Holy shit.
I mean, so against Shabertis, Costa, Ruff, and Bryce Smoker, there wasn't a lot of speed there. So Kelleher track down like a lot of hustle rebounds and long rebounds, things like that. Not really like rebounds in traffic, but I mean, 19 rebounds is impressive no matter how you slice it.
Okay. And then, all right. So on the other side for this game, you know, surprise, surprise, it didn't really seem like there was a ton of chemistry going on with the Giano-DP pairing, at least in the second half. Giano was really good in the first half, but, you know, I'm going to have to see, you know, a little more chemistry both offensively and defensively from those two if that team's going to compete. So I think I got to go with Park's team, and I'm going to say you're making it 5.5.
5.5. Okay. I actually made the line in favor of Park's team.
Oh, wow. Okay.
They looked really good. And Giano's team's, you know, I mean, they lost by 20 points last week. So I think, you know, they definitely need to play a lot better for them to play a team close.
Yeah, I mean, I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt. They were playing Maz and Cauley, who has the, you know, a good regular season team based on getting Cauley later than he should have been drafted. So I'll see how they bounce back. But another poor performance here, and, you know, they might be in trouble.
Right, agreed. Okay, game of the week, we have your team, aka Steiner's team, squaring off against EJ and Zach. That's the late game of the afternoon.
Okay. I'd be interested to hear what Zach thinks the line should be. But, I mean, coming into the season, I didn't think Zach's team was going to be that good. Obviously, Zach crushes SDL. But the surrounding cast, I just didn't think that they have enough shooting, which, you know, is what you need with Zach's team. They have some guys that are decent on defense, but just not enough depth. And I thought we looked pretty good in week one. I think we can make some improvements and, you know, just play better as a team. But, you know, pieces are there. So I think we should be favored by – I'm going to go with 6.5.
Okay. I actually have you guys favored by 12 here.
12?
So there's a couple reasons for this. One is I think this Dax team has no one to guard you. And I think you guys, although you don't really have anyone that can totally stop Zach,
you
guys are going to probably play smart and really just focus on guarding Zach and stopping him and double teaming him basically constantly and forcing other people to score. I think if you play against Zach's team with a smart defensive game plan, they're pretty beatable.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they also gave up like almost 25 offensive rebounds last week, which is not a great sign. I mean, some of that's due to going up against a big team plus 10-y, but
yeah,
even so. But, you know, if Zach kind of, you know, gets aggressive and plays a physical game on offense, then I think, you know, that he can easily cover this line, keep it closer, but that's going to require him to really look to score down low and just force his way to the basket and just be aggressive, trying to score and then getting putbacks if he misses the initial shot.
Yeah.
He was kind of doing some of that last week in the first half, and the second half that kind of faded away, seemed like he got a little tired.
Yeah.
But I think he has it in him to do it. I just don't know if he's going to do it in a week two SDL game.
Right. Totally agree. He definitely can. It's a matter if he feels like it.
Okay. So you are officially on Maz's team minus 6. You're barely on Perry Labov's team plus 3. You're on Giano's team plus 8. And I mean, I guess you're not really going to pick against yourself, but technically, if we were doing this, you would be on EJ's team plus 12.
Hmm. I don't know how I feel about this.
Yeah, now that we've been through this, how do you feel about having Giano's team plus 8 against Park's team?
I don't know. I don't think that's too bad. I mean, Giano and Dave got blown out week one, but again, they faced Maz's team. I thought Federici showed some good stuff as a possible facilitator. It's just a matter if they let him get into that role more. But yeah, I don't know. That's tough. I don't know if if Park's team is really going to blow a lot of teams out. I mean, Kerr's really good, but I don't know if he's, you know, just going to run it up on other teams. And their other guys are good role guys, but I don't know.
Yeah, to a degree, but I think a big part of blowing teams out is having the effort factor once you've built up a 10-point lead. You know, once it hits double digits, a lot of times teams kind of let off the gas. And I think that having, you know, three lacrosse guys in Sheehan, Kelleher, and Park, like, they're still going to be going for loose boards, like, playing hard defense.
Yeah,
so I think that can help to extend the lead. But, I mean, we'll see. You know, Pendergast had a really tough assignment last week, guarding Maz on one end and then being guarded by Colley on the other.
Yeah.
Zero free throw attempts for Dave last week. I know he was chirping Cap about that a little bit. So maybe he gets to the line a little in this one, gets going a little sooner. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, for Dave, it's just a matter of if he's going to the glass with his drives or if he's doing the floater.
Right, right. Because it's tough to get to the free throw line when you're shooting floaters.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, that wraps up the four games coming up, unless you have anything else you want to talk about.
All right, that's good. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Okay, great. All right, good luck this weekend.
All right, see ya.
Hope you lose. All right, joining me now on the podcast, Mr. SDL himself, Alan AO. How are you doing tonight?
Good. I am drinking and watching the Celtics play the Nets, and that's not something I wanted to do, but that's where I'm at.
Okay. Okay. Well, thanks for coming on. You know, as the host of the former SDL podcast, the Hoops and Hangovers podcast, definitely needed to have you come on as we pass the torch here.
Yep. Symbolically, but yeah, go for it. I don't mind giving it up. It was a good time. It just wasn't worth all the effort, you know, but looks like this app is better. So hopefully we'll have recordings for the entire season. That'd be good.
Yeah. I'm hoping to do one each week. Definitely the ease of, you know, recording and editing and getting it up is a huge, huge factor. If that becomes strenuous, then the podcast will not last, but for now it's not too bad.
Nice.
Okay. So anyway, your team opened up week one of the SDL season playing against Harry Labov's team. You guys suffered a tough OT loss. Late in that game, late in the second half, there was a key stretch where the game was tied and you knocked down a huge three-pointer to break the tie. And then a minute later, the game was tied again and you hit another shot to do you feel disappointed in your teammates for not hanging on to the lead that you gave them twice?
No, because other than that, like, 30-second sequence, I did nothing of note in that game, so can't really, you know, be strutting my stuff when I sucked for the rest of that whatever 20, 30 minutes that I played. Nope, that's definitely not the case. Not replacing Zach as the go-to scorer on this team. And I got to hand it to Harry that, you know, they get out of us on the boards and they won that game when they probably should not have won. Disappointed, bitter, drinking. That's what I'm doing right now. Thanks for the reminder.
Okay. You know, one thing that I see when I was looking at your team is I honestly think your third leading scorer this season might be EJ. Do you agree with that?
I agree that if that's the case, we're not going to the playoffs.
Well, I mean, he was your third leading scorer in week one. You know, Cahill was obviously second and Zach obviously first. But, yeah, I think you guys are going to need some more points from somewhere else on the roster.
Yeah, no, and that's not a slight to EJ. I just think both Brett and Tyler can play a lot better. It was one of those – well, it was a weird day because the backboards were down for anybody who wasn't there. We have like two sets of side-on-side backboards, and they were not up. And then we have a new I don't know, what do you call them, janitors or custodians? I don't know what they're supposed to be called these days, but they try.
Okay, and we're back. We had some technical difficulties. I switched over from Wi-Fi to 4G, so I'm hoping that solves the problem. Alan, you're starting to say about how you're expecting a little more out of the rookies from your team as the season goes on, and how it's kind of weird being the first week and the side hoops being down. That may have played a role in maybe some week one ineffectiveness.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So if that's where we cut off, that yeah. Yeah, like I was saying, love EJ, but I don't think we're going to have to rely on him to be the third scorer. I think we'll get more out of Brett and Tyler, which were our other two rookies moving forward. But Jack had a great debut, so I am happy about that. And I do think that we have the best player in the league in Zach. So that obviously is a big step up for us.
Yeah, I mean, having Zach's a huge advantage. I know you guys had the lead at halftime, and Zach had 26 points in the first half and was just basically scoring at will inside. You'd either miss and grab the O board and put it back or just score on the initial attempt. Seems like he's going to need to get up around 40 points a game for you guys to win games, but it's something within his skill set if he has the stamina to do it.
Yeah, I just rather have the rest of us score 10 points a game and have them be closer to like 30. I think that's more realistic, especially if we play an up-tempo game where we just make a lot of extra possessions for the less talented guys such as myself to get like open bunnies.
Yeah, I mean, Zach's an awesome passer, so you can certainly get good looks for everyone else. It's definitely just going to be a matter of if people can knock down the shots or not.
Yeah. So I also want to talk about Harry's team, which is obviously the team that beat us. Like, it's a really good offensive rebounding team, which is kind of frightening, right?
Yeah, I mean, they were great on the offensive glass against you guys. And Hammond and Tenney combined for like 15 offensive rebounds. And obviously they have George, not really sure how you say his name, and also Hanks, two big guys who can grab boards. So they're a tough team on the glass for sure.
Yeah, I think it's pronounced George, but I have no idea either. And honestly, it's not worth the effort to learn. Let that be a lesson to you, Jorday. Unless you play better, we're not going to learn your name. Having said that, I really hope that this is actually a case of that team being really, really good at rebounding and being super damn tall and not us sucking on the boards, because that would probably be better for both teams involved if that's the case. That was a weird team to play. It was like they're big and they all rebound for Casey, who, you know, took like 23s, and like they just like hung around enough with all the extra possessions and they ended up winning that game. But I'm not
right
sold on them as a good team, and I'm not sold on us as a terrible team, which I guess is fair.
Okay. So I think after your game, you stuck around and watched the game between what are your thoughts on that game and your opinion of those teams after week one?
Okay, so first opinion, and this is a hot take. I think any game that goes to triple overtime, after the second overtime, you just call it a tie, and we'll figure out a way to put that in the system, because hell no, I am not staying for another triple overtime game. I don't really have a life on a Saturday morning, because that would otherwise be time being spent waking up from a hangover. So I can't complain in that regard. However, I don't think any of us, especially scorekeeper, deserve to have to be there after, I don't know, like an hour of one game, right?
So yeah, I mean, it was brutal doing the scoring a three overtime game. It was terrible.
Yeah. So that's hot take number two. Hot take number one. Hot take number two. We'll probably be back to regular rules for and ones. The 1-on-1 within 2 minutes after like week three, because I just like, I don't know. I don't know if it's worth it, especially if we don't have a shot clock to go with it, for a different reason, to like try and make the late game situations more consequential. but that's just my opinion, and we'll see how that goes. Hopefully, like, we have some sort of system in place moving forward. And that's totally not on you, by the way, because I don't think any of us knew what this was going to look like in overtime specifically. So we just, like, dude, you did the best you could with the whatever the new rule is. So I'm actually, like, not upset about that at all. But I also didn't have to play triple overtime.
Right, right. Well, I think the good thing is, you know, the confusion about the rule didn't decide either of the overtime games. So
no, yeah, definitely did not. Good. Okay, so for, like, the actual teams, I think Dylan's team is obviously, if you substitute Dylan in for Cheese, that's a step up. No offense to Cheese, because he played really well and he had that team in the right spots to be successful. But they can obviously play better if they're a little more athletic as well. I was just, like, honestly, I was blown away by Kerr. I thought he was a poor man Zach going into week one, but he's, like, more athletic and probably worse of a shooter, but he's also just, like, will play defense. And let that be a lesson to you, Zach, that you need to play both ends of the floor.
Yeah, Kerr looked great. And, you know, I played with him in a draft last season. And when I had the fifth pick in the draft, I was thinking about taking him number five, potentially. Just wasn't sure about stamina, because if you're a first round pick in SDL, you know, you basically need to score, play defense, rebound. You have to do a lot of different things. I thought that could be an issue. But, I mean, obviously having the game-winning bucket in a three-overtime game, stamina was not an issue at all for Kerr in week one.
Yeah, and I think he does a really good job of, like, giving up the ball on offense. So, like, instead of initiating the offense like most number one picks, he actually lets his guards do that, and then he just, like, either crashes or rolls and is in the right spot to, like, get an effective high percentage shot off instead of having to make it himself. But I really like the rookies here. Both Connor and Drew were, I don't know, way better, but they were definitely – yeah, sorry, go ahead.
No, I agree with that. The rookies look good. I mean, they're just – I think they're just younger and have more energy than most of the guys in the league.
Yeah, that's just not fair, but probably true. Yeah, no, I would like to be a Laxbro now, because it clearly makes you good at basketball. It translates.
Okay. And what did you think about Ruff's team?
Okay, Ruff's team, like, honestly, it makes the most sense to me out of every team in this league in terms of roster construction. It's yeah, it's basically Ruff and Shaberdes as the two guards. And, you know, it's really funny because they're, like, overweight guards who, you know, like to shoot threes and are probably pretty effective. Yeah, Shaberdes for sure. Ruff, 4-for-11. Actually, that's not that bad. So, yeah, no, they'll both, like, play the same sort of similar game. And then having Bryce and Costa to basically clean up the boards and get your extra possessions. And this doesn't even include B-Rob, who is a defensive anchor and probably the best interior defender in our league next to Sidorko, is going to give them a high floor. I don't know how good they can be in terms of winning it all, but they're definitely a team that I safely pick to make the playoffs and then promptly lose in the first round when somebody misses a game.
Right. So just one point of clarification. I think everyone is going to make the playoffs this season because we actually for the first time in a long time.
Yep. You're right. That's how we did it last time we had an 18 season.
So everyone will make the playoffs, but I definitely think Ruff's team is, you know, a threat to advance in the playoffs. I mean, Shaberdes put up 38 points. He hit some step back threes that are just incredible.
Yeah, and he was chirping the whole game too, which I enjoyed watching. Him and Kerr were really talking to each other.
Oh yeah, and then you add Cap as the ref into that mix. It was an entertaining kind of three-way back and forth.
Yep. And then, like, in the games that Ruff wasn't playing on, Ruff on the sideline, Sean on the sideline, EJ on the sideline. It's good peanut gallery commentary for sure.
Oh yeah, definitely. Okay, well, on that note, Alan, unless you have any final thoughts, I was going to let you go. I know earlier you mentioned that you had a possible restroom emergency coming up.
Oh, yeah, no, I did that during our technical difficulties.
Oh, perfect. There you go. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I'm good. Right, I was going to say I saw your game, but I don't know if you want to talk about that, even though I don't think you guys were bad at all. But you also did not win that game, so.
Yeah, no, I think I played pretty poorly, especially shooting the ball, and you know we missed some free throws during the game that would have been big to have, and you know Steiner made some great plays at the end, some big shots.
Mm-hmm. Very efficient too.
Tough to them, and we'll hope to see them again.
Okay, what did you think of Klasby?
Klasby's pretty good. He wasn't quite as good as I thought he was going to be based on the combine, but he's still good. I thought he did a nice job defensively, especially when he was guarding me. He was kind of ball denying the whole way, made it difficult for me to even get the ball, although I did cook him one time. But generally, I thought he did a good job, and 17 points in his debut against what I think is a pretty good defensive team in our team. You know, he was definitely solid.
Okay, that's interesting because I could, and this isn't just me, but we actually thought he kind of sucked in the first half, but like was fine defensively in the first half, and then put both of it like more together in the second. So that was interesting. I think with N1 Hicks Tape Tour, which great name by the way. I don't know. I like the trio of Lawrence, Rosie, and Klasby, but I don't know how much defense they'll have moving forward, though they did hold you guys pretty well. So that's a team to watch out for, I would say, for sure.
Yeah, I definitely think they're a top contender. I mean, anytime you have, you know, like Eric or someone like Eric or Maz with a good number two and some help along the, you know, the rest of the roster, that's always going to be a threat in this league.
Ran into some technical difficulties recording with Alan. Not sure exactly what happened. We ended up trying quite a few times, but we ended up getting a nice long interview out of it. So we'll leave it off there and go into the next segment.
All right. Joining me on the podcast for another round of buy or sell, Mr. 63, Nick Mazzeo. Thanks for coming on.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Very happy to be here. I do want to say one thing before we start, one very quick thing. I want to congratulate your very workmanlike effort on the write-ups and the stats, getting everything up. You just did a really blue-collar job. You're a real lunch pail kind of guy, Franji. I really like that about you. A real man of the people.
I'm not sure if that's an insult or a compliment, but I guess I'll take it.
No, I mean, you know, I did overshadow you a bit. My write-up was clearly the talk of the town today. So I just wanted to make sure that you got some props as well for your very, very blue-collar, you know, put your nose to the grindstone kind of effort. Meat and potatoes kind of guy.
Thanks, appreciate that. All right, let's get into the game. All right. Buy or sell, Zach leads the league in scoring this season.
Are you kidding me? Come on, you should have prepped. You should have had better questions than this. I mean, I'm selling. They give that stock away for free on the streets. You buy a cup of Maxwell House coffee, they'll give you some of that stock. But nevertheless, I'll sell it.
Okay, fair enough. All right, next one. Parks team will make the semifinals at least.
Oh, Parks team coming off a very big win. Really sticking it to Mr. 63. My motivational tactics worked yet again. To be honest, though, that was a terrible game. I don't really know if you can crown a winner because that game was just hot garbage. And I'm going to sell that they make the semifinals. I'm still not a believer in that team.
Okay.
Kerr was good, though. Kerr did look very good. Kerr is a top five player in the league, I think. I still question whether or not he's going to show up, though.
Okay, that segues nice into our next one. Joe Shabertis is a top five player in the league, buy or sell?
Well, that's a tough one. I mean, obviously, I think you go me and Zach, top two. Rosiello is up there too. I got to put Dave up there too, Pendergast. I mean, that guy, he's shooting like 80% from the field. It's kind of crazy. He doesn't miss those floaters around the rim anymore. I might say he's better than Kerr. I'm going to say top. So what did we say? Shabertis is top. I'd say sell. He's not top five. I have him at like six or seven though.
Okay. So far we're 3 for 3 on sells.
Yeah.
Not a huge surprise.
I have a very full portfolio that's doing quite well. So, you know, I don't have time for these penny stocks here. So why don't you give me something? Give me a big market cap stock right here. Give me something big.
Okay, you might consider this more of a penny stock. This is something of a hot take. buy or sell Giano not having the worst team?
Oh God, this is like a weird double negative here. So if I buy, that means he doesn't have the worst team. If I sell, that means he does.
Correct.
I think he might have the worst team. I'm selling again.
You know, selling again.
I'm selling again. I'm selling again. I'm buying nothing. No one's buying anything today. I do have a bonus too. If you want to add one more to this segment, I have a bonus sell.
One. Let me ask this: Do you think Zach's team is better than Giano's team? Or I guess I should say EJ's team.
I didn't see Zach's team. I think just by virtue of having Zach, they're better though. Giano's team, I gave about 60% effort in that game. I think Colley gave about 50. I mean, freaking Rakusin was going off. Kid just launching threes, just swaggering all over the court, barking at orders at everybody. I loved it. I love to see it.
Okay. All right. Let's hear your bonus.
Bonus sell is I'm selling Harry's team name. That team name should be stricken from the site. No game scheduled. That is the dumbest shit I've ever seen. That is beneath you, Harry. I'm speaking to you directly, Harry. That is beneath you to name your team that. It's a cheap tactic. And if it even works once this season, you should be suspended from the league. So change your name before I change it for you.
There you have it. Maz, shockingly, 5 for 5 on the show.
Harry, you better change it to something that you like because you will not like what I change it to.
Okay, Matt's putting his foot down. All right, I actually have one bonus one. Buy or sell, Maz is actually the captain of Rakusin's team, and that they had a meeting, like the scene out of that movie with the guy. He says, "Look at me, I'm the captain now."
I don't know that movie. I'm generally pretty bad with movie references, but when have I not been the captain of an SDL team that I'm on? I'm always the man behind the curtain, making all the decisions.
So we have
making all the
so moves. We have a buy, by the way.
Yeah.
This is our first buy.
No, this isn't a buy, Franji. This is a hold. I've held this stock for a long damn time, and I'm not getting
okay.
It.
All right. Well, there the people have it. You should be shorting everything.
Yeah, well, I mean, you presented me with some pretty difficult things to agree with, but I like it. It was a fun game. I'm looking forward to making this a regular segment.
Okay, great. All right, well, thanks for coming on, Maz, and we'll be talking to you next week.